wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon, wherever you may be.
Omaha! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello?
2-2 to wide shot down the left field line. That ball is gone! And the Rays win it! A line drive home run by Evan Longoria.
We're on to Cincinnati.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the sports world. Welcome back to the Sports Access. I'm your host, Peter Jaffee. Alongside of me is Julian Burke. Julian, how are you?
I'm doing well, man.
So, Julian, I know you're happy because we have a lot of basketball to talk about today. The NBA, yesterday, the day before, the Board of Governors approved a restart for the NBA. There's a couple of key points that we're going to talk about. Game starting back on the 31st of July, which would mean probably sometime within the next couple of weeks, we'll get guys back actually on the court for, you know, quote unquote, training camp again.
Yes.
With this 8-game, again, in quotations, regular season. So far, Julian, I know you had a lot more chances to, or a lot more time to digest this restart for the NBA. Real quick, off the top of your head, what comes to your mind when you think of this?
I think from a fans, from a spectator standpoint, we were just waiting on something because everything felt so tentative. You know what I'm saying? There were no concrete dates. There wasn't even a solid formulated plan or proposed format that was agreed upon. So I think as a collective of NBA spectators, as a as fans, as a fan base, as fan bases around the world, come and kind of look forward to see what the league has come up with. Ultimately, it's exciting. And as far as the league and what they've done, it remains to be seen they were in this process because there's going to be a lot of spotlight on how things unfold with this tweaked format and this adjustment, you know, for the resuming of this NBA season. So, you know, I'm just excited that Hoops is back. Pray all is well with everybody.
Yeah, this will be – basketball and NHL will be the first two sports to come back. Of course, Bundesliga soccer has come back as well. And I know some NASCAR has come back. But as far as your top American sports that are really global, the NBA and the NHL are both of the first two sports to come back. And I think it's going to set a precedent for what the NFL has to do as far as quarantining people if they need to. And as far as the MLB goes, I have no idea what they're going to do right now. They're kind of making me a little nuts as far as what the MLB Players Association and what the owners want. I mean, just pick a side, 50-50 split, play 100 games, 82 games, whatever. Just get something going. But, you know, we were talking before the show that they kind of kept that traditional playoffs around. They didn't really make it to where the 22 teams were going to play for seeding, and then those 22 teams were going to be seeded, right. You know, right. one through 22, and then we could have a case where Los Angeles Lakers versus Los Angeles Clippers were going to meet each other in the finals, which a lot of people were thinking would happen. They kept this traditional, and I know you and I were both talking before the show that, you know, we really liked that they were able to keep that traditional NBA playoff feel happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that when I was listening to Adam Silver speak about what went into that decision and how, you know, Michael Jordan was among a group of consultees, so to speak, that he was speaking to about this and, you know, was kind of picking his brain on, you know, because he has such a gravitational influence in professional basketball and basketball as a whole. So he said it was really, it came down to maintaining, wanting to maintain a semblance of normalcy in basketball with everything that's going on in the world right now. You know, something that fans would cling to because it felt familiar and because it was known already, you know, not just to thrust something new into our faces, you know, in the name of marketability, profit, ratings, things of that nature. But in saying that, I will say that when I was listening to his speak, when I was listening to him speak as well, you could sense that the door was still being left open for changes to happen in the future. So even though now there's almost like this I don't want to say stalemate, but this maintaining of the old order, so to speak, and how the playoffs are run and how the format goes, you could sense in how Adam Silver was speaking that, you know, things are building up, things are materializing, and the fact that they're talking and the conversations are growing, and the strategizing is being had about these new formats and about a new way to do things, I wouldn't say it would be that much longer before some changes are permanently thrust into the forefront, or at least on an experimental phase. But we know how the NBA does stuff. Normally when they experiment with stuff and they try it, it's a good idea, and then they keep it. We saw recent success in that, you know, in the most recent example with the tweaking of the All-Star game and the format and everything. And that was well received. So that's where I am on that.
Now, would that make you weary if they did decide to change it where, you know, down the line we could get a Lakers-Clippers finals matchup, even though both teams are in the West?
Just because, like I said, I'm a proponent of traditionalism, and I tend not to look past that. So if it's not what it's been, I'm not going to like it more often than not. Obviously, it'll be something that I would have to get used to if the change came about. But most definitely, I could see them trying to manufacture that clashing, you know, that type of matchup, because, you know, there's so much media coverage around that. And like I said, it speaks to ratings again. You want people to watch your game. How do you get people to watch your game? Put the primetime guys on television, the primetime storylines, the primetime narratives. That's what you want. And you get that in this two-headed monster of LA teams that have kind of just emerged and have clashed against each other. So,
especially if you can play that series in the Staples Center for all seven games and you don't have to leave the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's yet another convenience that may be underlooked during this time, but for sure, man.
So for the people that don't know, there's 22 teams coming back. That's what the NBA restart is bringing back. They're all going back to Orlando and the Wild World of Sports at Disney for the 22 teams. In case people have forgot, it's the Milwaukee Bucks, Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers, Philadelphia 76ers, Brooklyn Nets, Orlando Magic, and Washington Wizards from the Eastern Conference. And from the West, it's the Lakers, Clippers, Denver Nuggets, Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, Memphis Grizzlies, Portland Trail Blazers, New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, Phoenix Suns, and that, well, and then the Phoenix Suns is wraps up your 22nd team returning. I mean, looking at that, obviously I said more names for the Western Conference than I did for the Eastern Conference, because the Washington Wizards, despite being 16 games under 500 at 24-40, are the only team that are within 6 games of the Orlando Magic for that 8th spot at 30-35. You have guys like Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix, who are all within 6 games of the 8th seed, in Memphis Grizzlies, who are 32-33. Phoenix enters with a 26-39 record, so a little better than the Washington Wizards, but still, you know, a lot of games under 500 from my liking to be brought back. So let's go into this, because NBA is trying to do a 8-game, in quotations, regular season, which would start July 31st when everything comes back up, and they would basically play. It says here that the season would restart with 8 seeding games for each returning team.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include the ability to have a play-in game for the 8th seed if the 9th seed is within 4 games of the 8th seed, which I told you before the show, and I expressed how that kind of, I thought, disvalued what the 8th seed was able to do, especially if I think the New Orleans Pelicans – or no, Portland is 3 games back. If they stay 3 games back and Memphis wins all of their games and Portland wins all of their games, which I don't think that can happen because they might play each other, and Memphis holds on to that 3-game lead, I think Memphis should be rewarded with that 8th seed, and I don't think there should be a Memphis Grizzlies-Portland Trailblazers
showdown series. Yeah. I understand that wholeheartedly. It then becomes a disadvantage for the Grizzlies, like you said, bro, because they, the fate of what they earned is not even in their own hands at that point anymore. It's almost like the league is just trying to capitalize off of having more teams in the mix just because of the notoriety or the star power that may lurk below. You look at New Orleans and Sacramento as well. They're both respectively 3.5 games back, the same way Portland is. But who's to say any of those teams would make enough of a stride to really overtake that 8 spot anyway, or to even touch Memphis, really? Because if everybody's playing their 8 games, Memphis just has to win a majority of those. And you can justify that they should have been able to lock up the 8 spot. So like you said, Pete, it's something that seems a little bit unjust, a little bit to their disadvantage for sure.
Because I mean, we don't know how this schedule is going to work. We don't know if Memphis is only playing the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other 6 teams that aren't in the playoff race, and the same thing with Orlando Magic. Or we don't know if the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be playing the Portland Trailblazers at any point. We don't know how this schedule is going to work. But I would think if you want – I know the NBA wants New Orleans back because of Zion Williamson. He was much see TV, you know, during his time. I know they want Portland back because of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard.
Well, also,
and if you want to do that, go ahead.
Just from a roster standpoint, that team should be more formidable when they hit the court again too, because with this layoff time, Zach Collins has had enough time to rehabilitate, get healthy, and so has Yusuf Nurkic, two very pivotal big men in their success. And that was Portland's biggest issue this year, was infirmity. They had too many injuries, because there's no way when your roster looks nearly identical to what it did last season, and you made the conference finals. Granted, a lot of those teams are somewhat transformed and different now, but there's no way you just fall out of the playoff picture entirely just based off of not playing right. The NBA is where amazing happens for sure, but a team like Portland, that's not something that would happen with them without it being justified through injury. And that's exactly what their biggest setback has been this season.
Yeah, and now what I think, if you wanted to bring back Zion and Dame, and you can tell me if this, you know, this flat out sucks, but I would think bring back Portland, bring back New Orleans, and if you're going to go in the East, bring back Washington, bring back Charlotte, who's only 2 games back of Washington. Let Portland and New Orleans play each other, and have Washington and Charlotte play each other, and the winner of that gets the 9th seed. And what you do is you have the first seed in each conference, which would be the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Milwaukee Bucks get a bye. And if you want to expand the playoffs and you want to have either the Trailblazers or the Pelicans in the playoffs and you want them on TV, just go two through nine with one with the first seed getting a bye, and then after that you have play maybe a best of five series, and then you start your best of seven with the 16 remaining teams.
So that's your way of kind of justifying the team in the number nine slot getting a chance or getting a shot.
Yeah, because I mean, there's no reason to bring back Phoenix right now. There's no reason to bring back San Antonio right now.
I'm looking at
there's
that.
There's no
same thing, bro. I'm seeing it.
Other than Devin Booker, between the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns, Devin Booker is the only marketable name, unless you're talking about Coach Pop.
Yeah.
He's the only marketable name that we would like to see play because he was having such a great year. But other than that, everybody only wants to see Zion play. Everybody wants to see Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball play with Zion because Lonzo was throwing up lobs to Zion left and right in the middle of the season. Everybody wants to see if CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard can make a deep run in the playoffs. So just bring back Portland and New Orleans, let them play a best of three series. Bring back Washington and Charlotte, let them play a best of three series, and then give Milwaukee and Los Angeles, who are both up by at least 5.5 games in both divisions and earn, or both conferences, excuse me, and earn that first round bye. Just give them the first round bye, play two through nine, play a best of five series, and then whoever goes on plays a best of seven series for the next four series. Now, it's a lot of basketball for everybody other than the first seed,
right.
But that's when I think you can get into, I think that's when it gets a little, for lack of a better word, better than what I think this play-in series, where if the ninth seed is within four games of the eighth seed, they have to beat the eighth seed twice to make it into the playoffs. I think it kind of just, you know, doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
As much as I thought it should.
Right.
Or I thought it would.
Right. And, I mean, just to be frank here, outside of the respective fan bases of some of these teams, viewers on television are not really going to miss the Sacramento Kings. They're not going to miss the Phoenix Suns. They won't even miss the Spurs, you know, as competitive as Coach Pop would keep that team. You know, no one's going to be sitting in their bed lamenting the fact that the San Antonio Spurs didn't get a spot if they didn't get a spot, or didn't get an opportunity if they didn't get an opportunity. So I'm right there with you, Pete. Those two teams right there, you can circle them right below the eight seed line, 9 and 10, Portland and New Orleans. Those are the most formidable challengers and the ones who you could benefit from giving a chance to truly be in the mix for this thing. And also you could look at how they finished off before the season was brought to a halt. And you know, they both ended on win streaks, so that's another reason to kind of make concession for them.
Yeah, because let's be honest. Nobody wants to watch Washington Wizards play, especially if they don't have John Wall. Now, if they had John Wall and Bradley Beal both in the front court, or the back court, right? No.
Yeah.
Did I mix those up?
The back court.
Back court. So if you had both of them in the back court. Okay, great. Charlotte Hornets would be a tough team to sell because they lost Kemba Walker. They're not good right now. The only two teams that you really could sell – well, I mean, you could, but not the owner. Maybe if you were selling Michael Jordan the player, then, yeah, obviously you could sell that.
Get that man to suit.
But the only teams fans really want to watch – and especially novice fans like myself, because when Zion Williamson came back, I made it a point to watch his NBA debut.
Yeah.
you know, beginning to end. I don't really watch a whole lot of basketball games beginning to end, but I made sure to watch his beginning to end. That's the only team that people really want to watch. And if the Pelicans were sitting in the eighth seed, I'm sure we're only talking about a 16 team playoff restart. I'm sure we're not bringing back Memphis. I'm sure we're not bringing back Portland. And I'm sure we're not bringing back Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix.
That's a
I
great
think this
question.
is I think this is kind of a situation of Adam Silver wanting
It's
and
manipulating.
needing.
It's manipulating the marketability of the situation. And see,
Exactly.
the thing is, it's also to an extent justified because, you know, you would have fans. Let's say New Orleans really had no stake in the playoff race and they were just so bad this season. And you could make a case for them making this cutoff for the NBA season resuming this year. The league wouldn't be pushing it that hard because they know it would be a ridiculous explanation to try to give to the fans and give to people who are watching as a whole to try to sell this team that's playing horrible just because they have a marquee player. I mean, everybody has that story to some extent. I mean, you even look at Golden State. You can't make concessions for them just because they have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and premier guys on their team that have built up a brand for themselves and for that franchise. They're 15-50 this season. They're done. They're going to be coalesced into the lottery. That's what's going to happen with them this season. But what you look at the Pelicans, they ended the season on a 2-game win streak. They were 5-5 in their last 10. Only 3.5 games back, right there with Portland. They were making a surge. They were sound on both sides of the ball. Zion was starting to pick up steam. He was starting to find his groove truly. Really, his debut was, you know, exceptional. And like you said, a lot of people, I'm sure, tuned into that because that's the gravity around his name alone. You know, even just the expectation, even if he didn't perform as well on his debut, people would have watched just to see what he was going to do. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Pete. It's really it still feels gimmicky to an extent, but it's a little more justified because New Orleans, they're still in that playoff gravity right now. You can make a case for them being in that mix. So it's not completely it's not the most outlandish thing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we have some sports coming back on
Sure.
and that the NBA was able to find a chance to bring back basketball, unlike what a major league baseball isn't doing.
Right.
So it's great to see that all, or at least 29 of the 30 teams, because Portland was the only one to not agree to this restart, but it's good to see that all teams were in favor of this and that we will be getting some type of basketball back. But I think, you know, in the long run of this little short playoff slash 8-game regular season, I think there's a little things that we could have done to make it better and to have fans gravitate towards. Yes, they're going to watch this, but I don't know if that San Antonio Spurs team, the Kings team, the Suns team, the Wizards team is going to have a whole lot of eyeballs on them when they're on TV
Right.
playing, you know, if you have a Wizards Suns game. I don't know if people are going to watch that. They might, maybe just because NBA hasn't been on for a couple of months, but in my mind, I think we should have just started with the 16 teams or done my proposal where you bring back Portland and New Orleans, you bring back Washington and Charlotte. They play each other. 2 through 9 play, one gets a bye, and we move on from that. But also more basketball news too. Or before we continue into this Board of Governors restart, or the NBA restart that the Board of Governors approved, I'm sure you heard that Kevin Durant will not be returning this year,
Yeah,
when the Nets begin play again. So I'm sure you heard that. That's big news considering that Kevin Durant is one of the big free agent signings for the Nets. But anyways, moving forward with this NBA restart, So with games beginning the 31st, that means the NBA Finals would end no later than October 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in between the playoffs and that October 12th, which would be game 7 of the Finals, they are going to have the draft lottery on the 25th of August, which I don't remember the draft lottery being 2 months before the actual draft. Because the draft is going to be on the 15th of October, 3 days after the finals ends. So what, August, if we go August 25th, that would be around the end of the conference semis, correct? About a month into playoffs?
Yeah, I'd say around that.
So after that, we will know the 14 lottery teams. Or at least, well, yeah, because the 8 teams that aren't returning plus the 6 teams that are not going to be coming back for the actual playoffs will be in the lottery system, and they're going to be based off of the – I saw it here. It says here the 14 NBA lottery teams would be the 8 teams that do not participate in the restart and the 6 teams that participate in the restart but do not qualify for the playoffs. These teams would be seeded by the lottery and assigned odds based on their records through games to March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the 16 playoff teams would get their draft selection based off of that. So what kind of challenges does this present the 6 teams that are in the restart now that could find themselves in the lottery?
Well,
what challenges do you think this brings them on as far as scouting goes?
The condensed time frame. Well, also, just, you know, to broaden the lens a little bit, to take us back into this, in light of everything that's going on in our world right now, you still had this COVID-19 pandemic that was causing a rift in scouting abilities because you can't be face-to-face in physical, interpersonal with these players that you're trying to gain information on. And there's it's such a pivotal process to not only see a guy in front of you play, but to talk and conversate, to see where they're at in their head, their demeanor, how they carry themselves. These things are pivotal parts to adding a pillar to your franchise, to adding a piece to your franchise, or making a decision to refrain from a certain prospect. So it makes scouting kind of tense because you're almost – you're scrambling for information that's not at the normal disposal that it would be at for you because of the strain that that's being caused with not being able to engage in direct normal human contact the way we're so accustomed to and the way we should naturally have the liberty to. So it's tough concerning that. And with these new dates that have been structured and put together, it makes it even more difficult. Just because of the condensed time frames, we're really going to see what some of these lower level teams are made of in terms of their scouting and how their front office will approach development moving forward with their franchises. It'll be interesting to see.
Now, we talked about this on a previous show, but the first thought in my mind, too, when I think of this lottery is that there's 6 teams still
right
that don't know if they're going to be in the playoffs or not.
Exactly.
Are we sure that they're going to play to the best of their abilities to try to make to the playoffs, or are the Phoenix Suns just going to lay down and tank and lose every game? And then if that's the case, how are we going to determine who the best team is that made into the playoffs? You know, what if in these 8 games, the Phoenix Suns go 0-8 and now they have the best chances at the lottery among the 6 remaining teams. And now somebody goes 6-2 because they had to play the Suns twice. And that was 2 easy wins for them. And now they're in that little play-in game. And all of a sudden we have a Wizards 8 seed when they were 6 games back.
Right.
We have a Spurs 8 seed when they were 5 games back. So immediately when I think of the 6 remaining teams, I wonder, are we going to get the best basketball from them, or are we going to see them not really give their all because
right.
they're 5 games out of the playoffs, they want a better lottery spot? Because once the lottery goes around, anything can happen. I mean, obviously, as a Knicks fan yourself, you've seen where the Knicks had the 1 or 2 best odds and we get the 4th or 5th pick.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into detail in that. Not in this show. Not today. But, yeah, I've seen it time and time again. I don't know. It makes it difficult because there is a disparity in how things go with that system, especially – and it's so ironic that they change the odds when it would be at the inconvenience of teams like the Knicks, who have been – the only form of consistency they've had is consistently losing. So I don't know. It's really tough to peg. But like you said, the implications moving forward are really tough because, like you said, are teams really going to give their all, or is it going to be more about strategic positioning for the next season? And I believe that's what I was alluding to in last week's show as well. A lot of teams, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at them making the cutoff for this restart as more of a disadvantage than an advantage, and they'll turn around and position for what's in the opposite direction, which is development instead of contention. So you move toward the side of the lottery trying to build on your team going forward, and like you said, it really skews the results because a team who may play a Phoenix team who strategically loses those games on purpose, now they're in a place where they have an actual chance to compete, but it was really a manufactured situation based on Phoenix, for lack of a better words, throwing games in that hypothetical scenario. So,
it's right. And just to piggyback off of that, the Suns right now have the 10th best odds. Or they would be the 10th pick. They would have the 10th pick right now.
Okay.
If the draft started tomorrow, because they're 26-39, only Washington has a worse record than them right now. So they would be the 10th pick, or at least have the odds of 8-11. So now, instead of thinking, okay, we got to gear up for a top 10 pick, I think front office is like, oh, great. Now we got to try to contend for a playoff spot. And if we make the playoffs, that worsens our odds at the lottery. You know, what do we do? Do we try to go for the playoffs and show our city and our fan base that we can make the playoffs with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton? Or do we still try to go for that top 10 pick and still try to develop and possibly have a chance of DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker just coming back next year and trying to contend next year? So I think that's the dilemma a lot of the front offices are going to go through, as far as, because San Antonio would have the 11th best odds.
Right.
You know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, what does the front office value more? Do they value the draft pick more, or do they value making it to the playoffs more? And I think right now that's going to be the dilemma that not only the NBA is going to face, but teams and fan bases are going to face.
Absolutely. It's going to make things interesting as well. Because if you remember, Pete, I don't know if you do, earlier on in the season, Phoenix was showing some really significant strides in the development of their team. They were winning a lot of games early on. I was like, wow, what has Monty Williams got in the water down there? Like, what are they putting in the Gatorades for Phoenix? But they were competitive very early on in the season, and then it just tapered off. So it's interesting. The front office is really going to have to weigh a lot of things. I think it's really going to come down to, do we have any significant gaps or ancillary pieces that the draft can truly address for us to where it would be worth bowing out of this opportunity? Or should we just put together a collective effort, put our best foot forward, and give it our all on the floor every time we touch it. But if we, if I honestly, I'm glad I just thought about this now. If we go based on who their head coach is and his approach, his demeanor to how the game should be played, Phoenix will compete. But if it's from a higher place or a higher authority, the front office truly pulling the strings, which we see far too often to the detriment of franchises, then I could see Phoenix going that other route that you spoke of, man.
Right, because, I mean, as much as we don't want to think that front offices have that much of a play or that much of a say of what happens on the field or the court,
they do. Yeah.
Ultimately, they do,
yeah,
because they think they know what's best,
right,
for the team. I mean, we saw that with – I mean, just looking back at the last dance with Jerry Krause, how hands-on he was trying to be as a front office, you know, front office executive, being the general manager of the Bulls in the 90s.
As successful as he was,
we saw
was
that.
Almost delusional, though. As I was watching that, I was like, he really he really believed that there was a higher value that should be attributed or placed to the front office as opposed to the players who are going out there and giving you a performance and bringing in the results for you. So that was kind of something that I don't know, that didn't sit well with me as a fan to have what does it say? What does it represent? What is it symbolic of when you have a GM that is negligent to give the roster, the players, the proper adoration and respect that they deserve for what they accomplish when they go out on the floor. So
exactly. And that's, you know, that's alluding to my point of, are we going to see these front offices take over what goes on in the court?
Right.
But that'll be something to see. But moving on to other dates that could happen for the NBA.
Yes.
The season ends October 12th. They want to start the new season
December
1st. On the 1st of December, and they want to have – let's back up. Game 7, if there is a Game 7 of the NBA draft, would be on October 15th.
Yeah, yeah.
The draft – or excuse me, October 12th.
Yes.
The draft would be October 15th.
Right.
And then free agency would be October 18th.
Right.
That's three – big dates
that are really
in the span of a week.
Condensed. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's going to be go ahead.
And it's a pretty simple one. We saw what happened. We saw what went down in free agency last year. And I believe I alluded to this on last week's show as well, or maybe the show prior to that. Fans love to see what's going to unfold. That is arguably the most it's growing in its anticipation in the NBA. That's arguably the most exhilarating point of the NBA season, the off season. Who's going to change teams? Who's going to sign a bigger contract? Who's teaming up with who now? There's such a fascination with it now. And now that you can condense those dates, you're really just catering to the lack of patience in fans. And you're feeding them with what they want. You're saying, we're not going to deprive you. We're not going to make you wait a certain amount of time. We're going to give you 3 days to digest this. And then we're moving on to the next thing for you to indulge in. So I think to an extent, this whole restart and how the schedule has been restructured, it's a boon for the fans, which conversely means it could be a boon for the league because I'm sure they've taken that into consideration as far as how bringing these dates closer together would really increase the viewership.
Yeah, because that's going to be, for some teams, the biggest week of the season.
Without question.
Because, I mean, you think of Golden State, they have the draft on the 15th. If they have the first overall pick, you know, you have your draft on the 15th, and on the 18th, are they going to add somebody, you know, like they did with Kevin Durant, you know, 4 years ago, are they going to add somebody in free agency?
Right.
So that's 3 days of, okay, is Golden State going to keep the number one pick? And what are they going to do in free agency?
Right.
You know, what are the Lakers going to do in free agency? If they win the finals and now they have the draft and now they have free agency, are they going to build upon free agency?
Right.
What are what are some of these teams gonna do? And I think the NBA having that those three dates, you know, almost back to back to back, is gonna really help their ratings and their anticipation for the next season that's gonna start in a month and a half after free agency starts. So to me, I think the way they plan that out is perfect. You have the draft that ends the finals that end on October 12th. 3 days later, fans are getting ready for the draft watched a game seven.
It's like you can't even digest it all. That's a fan's dream.
Mm-hmm. It's equivalent to when, to me at least, I equivalent that to when all four major sports are going on at the same time. There's so much that you can watch. And there's going to be so much basketball within that week, within those 9 days of Game 7 of the finals, which, you know, if it's a Game 7, it's most likely going to be a great Game 7. Then you go to the draft, and then you hit free agency. So somebody who won the finals on the 12th could leave for another team on the 18th. And I think that's such a service to fans who – especially it's such a service to the NBA, who is trying to get their ratings back up from being gone for 3 months.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, obviously the ratings, the money took a hit, and now in a span of a week, they're going to see such a spike in their ratings, I think.
Yeah. They,
you know, I'm no expert in it.
They definitely anticipated their need to being able to make up for that lost time, because lost time is lost money. It's just going to be interesting. And you mentioned the Lakers. I just want to say this briefly. Let us not forget that Anthony Davis still has a decision to make. He didn't sign an extension. He didn't make any long-term commitments with LA, verbally nor on paper. So it's going to be interesting how things play out. And that's where the whole phraseology finals or bust or championship or bust really comes into play. Because if the Lakers don't get to the top of that mountain where they're hoisting up that Larry O'Brien, then how does that transform the future dynamic of that team? So I think that's really interesting, because as great as LeBron James has been, you know, with his longevity and everything, his days are numbered at this point in his season, in this point in his career. His best chance to keep the championships flowing, or at least championship flowing, it's right now in this moment.
Right. So we can very, you know, piggybacking off of your point, we can very well see the Lakers in Game 7 of the finals losing or winning. And then 7 days later, Anthony Davis is gone. And if they lose, then they're right back to where they started from last year. They traded away Lonzo Ball. They traded away Brandon Ingram for 1 year of Anthony Davis. Didn't win the championship. And now they have a hole in their roster that they need to fill. Or they spent all that money or traded away all those assets for Anthony Davis, won the championship, and now they're in the same spot that they were last year, needing that hole to fill as well with Anthony Davis. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, the Lakers are going to be the most interesting team to watch, not only in these playoffs, but in free agency. Because Kawhi Leonard's locked up with the Clippers. Paul George is locked up with the Clippers. That team is going to be around for a little while. The Lakers, LeBron James, like you said, is on his last leg. There's not a whole lot of championship runs coming his way. Anthony Davis hasn't verbally agreed to staying with the Lakers for longer than the next
two months
of basketball. So they are, in my mind, the most interesting team to watch going into these playoffs, into this restart.
For sure.
So the season starts. The next season would start the 2020-2021 season would start December 1st which I know you alluded to a couple of shows ago that that would be kind of a quick turnaround, and you didn't want to see the season start on December 25th, Christmas. But is this a little better in your mind as far as a start to
Yeah, it
the
is.
next season? Because in my mind, it's a little quick, but it at least keeps that going to where basketball can see what summer basketball ratings get. And if anything, if summer basketball ratings are just terrible and nobody wants to watch, basketball in July or August, they can always put the season back to where it was.
Yeah. Which that's a task in itself now, because not, I mean, that's the thing about setting dates and having the expectation of following up into those dates and going through those dates. It's almost like you have to stop play again to restructure everything again. So it would come to a halt if they were to make any changes going forward as a result of any lack of success that this new scheduling yields. But as far as the date setup, you're right on the money about that, Pete. My first I kind of had like a an adverse reaction to it. I didn't want the dates to be too close to Christmas. More importantly, I didn't want the season to start on Christmas. I just thought that was weird. December 1st for me, that's kind of like a, that's a middle ground. That's sort of a fair compromise, because if you look at the NBA, generally the season starts around late October anyway, which is pretty much the start of November, if you want to be honest. So you're looking at really a month later than where you would normally start. Now, it you could argue how much of a month's time is going to make its impact on the new scheduling. That remains to be seen.
I think the other thing that remains to be seen is do the players, especially the players that make it to the conference finals and to the NBA finals, how are they going to like basically ending October 12th and only getting the month of November to
Exactly.
really rest before that December 1st start? What are they going
Exactly.
to think about it?
That's
But
tough.
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's really tough. And you would like to think that the league had to, they couldn't circle around these potential roadblocks in this new scheduling, in this new system. But we'll see, because the players, without a shadow of a doubt, they will reveal if something was a bad proposition or not based on their performance. They'll show you in how they play or in how they don't.
Because it's either going to, well, there's two sides of it. It's really three. It's either going to make the players angry that they're coming back too soon. It's going to have them thinking, okay, good, we're on some type of on a right track where I still get July and August and a little bit of October off, or and September off with a little bit of October for my off season. And on the other side of it, it's going to keep the fans interested because from free agency starts the 18th of October, but it can go as long as possible. I mean, we've seen people drag out free agency for the extent that free agency has allowed, which free agency lasts, what, 15, 20
It's
days?
normally around, it's around 2.5 weeks, so yeah, in that range.
So now, if you take it 2.5 weeks, you're in November. So the beginning of November to the beginning of December, you're just going to have fans speculating on how free agency went, how the draft went. You're going to have TV, personnel and big name guys like Woj, like Stephen A. Smith, ESPN, Fox Sports, CBS. Everybody is going to be gravitated towards basketball for that little month because they know that the season's going to start back up so soon.
What'll really be interesting to keep an eye out for is the players that would even think to drag out free agency with, you know, a strategic financial ploy, money ploy, or just to kind of build up the anticipation of what decision they're going to make. It'll be interesting to see how the condensed time forces them to kind of die to those plans, so to speak. You know, strategizing for your own financial gain. It'll be interesting to see how players have to work around that because they don't have the time frame to take as long as they normally would be able to.
Right. So, again, in that regard, I think the NBA has done a great job as far as marketing themselves. But as far as the NBA restart, that's really the last point that, you know, that as going through what's going on, that December 1st date was really the last thing that they talked about is as far as tentative dates are scheduled for.
I'm reading here that the NBPA does not appear on board, however, with the report that the organization told its players that the start date for the subsequent season, 2021, that December 1st start date appears unlikely to come to fruition. So that's something to follow. Looking forward as well.
So if it doesn't start December 1st,
I mean, there's no pushing it up. I mean, there's no pushing it down to accommodate the fact that it wouldn't start in December. You can't move it up to November at this point because not you're crowding what you've already set forth with the draft and free agency. So I don't know. It's really going to be interesting. We're really going to see how well thought out or how it wasn't for the league to really put these dates and put these plans into effect. It's really going to be something to watch.
It'll be very interesting to see what the NBA does as far as this whole restart. But Julian, thank you for speaking to me as always, and hopefully the NBA can come back
I hope this plan comes into fruition with success.
A lot of great games and get into this postseason.
I hope it yields something that the fans, as far as season being salvaged, and I just truly hope that it's something that can hold up.
So anyways, that's all the time we have for today. Again, I kind of hope that the next episode isn't so NBA-centric, really, but for right now, the NBA and the NHL are the only things really going – or the only sports associations getting back into control. The MLB hasn't really done anything. So if you guys want to follow this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at @the_sportsaxis. You can follow us on Instagram at @axissports. You can listen to us on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is Peter_DeFeeJr. DeFee is spelled DEFEE.
You can find me if you want to look for my Instagram.
On Twitter at
my personal account.
Sportscaster P.
Follow me at
Joel. Where can they find you?
OML. That's where I'm at. Come check me out. You want to hear about some interesting opinions? Even if you guys want to engage in conversation with me, maybe in the DM about some sports stuff, I am open there at JewOML on Instagram. We brought them to spin on everything they wanted to be in.
So, again, this has been the Sports Access. Jewel, what did we just do? I've been your host, Peter DeFee. Julian Burke's on the other end of the
Absolutely,
line.
Absolutely, man.
At his house because we are still quarantined. Julian, as always, thank you again for joining me.